I don't want to be violently. I now I don't know though. I want to go a place where they're just the nice shy ones. I don't want the violent rogue males. I'm not into that. I don't know about that.
So. Hey Sasquatch, we want to see you unless you're a rogue one.
Unless you're violent.
Only want the nice cuddly ones.
I want the nice lady ones. Anyway.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail-painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Everybody, welcome to Designer Cornbread.
Episode 111.
I was going to say that.
You're so
smart.
I
should have said it. You would have been impressed.
I would have been, but you didn't, so I'm not. Yeah, welcome everybody. Hello, hello. It is the last week of October. Can you believe it?
October really has flown by.
It sprouted wings.
It
and
did.
Just took off.
Yeah. It did. And I don't know if that was because we had fall break or what, but I mean, it's really gone quickly.
I don't know. I don't know either. I mean, we took a trip, so that did take a chunk out. Yeah. But still, it just flew as it does every year. So, but that's okay. That's okay. Time's moving along. So tell us about, what do we need? We have lots to get caught up on, or at least a little bit. We've both been doing stuff. We had boys' birthdays. This last weekend. Mm-hmm. How was Blub's birthday?
Blub. So I went to Chattanooga and we went the first, cause he wanted to watch, you know, football. Imagine mm-hmm. Caleb Shank wanting to watch football.
I can't imagine that.
So we left bright and early Saturday morning and we went and he wanted to go to Champy's for lunch.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay.
And which is a, you know, just a fried chicken place, really good in Chattanooga, good. Downtown. And good. So we ran there and then we went back and we watched football. Mm-hmm. And then we went to eat again.
Listen, that's a perfect birthday for him. What more do you?
I know.
Though, it's so, really easy yeah. now that they get older. Let's be honest.
No, it is.
It's so, easy.
Yeah. So yeah. Hudson, he was gone with Thatcher to Nashville. And so yeah. we took Tristan and his roommate, Tristan and Caleb, and we went to this place called Dadgum, and I knew I'd forget it.
Oh, come on.
It's a tavern real close to there. It's about a mile from their apartment. Tremont Tavern.
Okay. I've not heard of that.
And listen, I mean, it's right up Caleb's alley. You know, football games going on all over.
Nice.
And burgers and you know, all that kind of stuff. And it seems to be, I mean, I love the atmosphere. The waiter was outstanding. But it seems to be like Cheers,
you know,
just
nice.
One of those neighborhood places. And, yeah. and Tristan even said, yeah, we came last week and he said there was a group at a table next to us. And they were like, hey, we hadn't seen y'all here before.
So and is that like their place? Is that
their
neighborhood
place?
Bar?
That's going to be their neighborhood place right there.
Oh, I
yeah.
love it.
Yeah. So
and
anyway,
Caleb can get out, but still watch football.
Yes.
Like he
yes.
can do part of the day at home and then he could go out.
Yeah. Yeah. JB drove down from Hendersonville.
Oh, nice.
And met us. So it just was, we had a great time. We laughed really hard and Caleb talked the waiter into, I mean, it was outstanding. I mean, he walked up, you know, very, hey, you know, hey dudes.
Nice.
Kind of thing. And as he was talking, Ron finally looked at him and said, hey, have you ever been like a guide on these whitewater rafting things? And he says, yeah, man, he said, not anymore. It's been a while, but yeah, you're definitely picking up that vibe, you know? So it's Ron says, vibe. Does your name happen to be Lujan? So he was like, no.
Okay,
no,
when but, was it? I was okay. like, okay.
So Lujan, here's the story. John Garrett and when he and Hudson were on their camp, I think it's when they were doing Pisgah, which is where yeah. they go off site mm-hmm. and they do like this extreme camping. I mean, they're, you know, they're gone for days from camp and they hike mountains and whitewater raft and all that. But I don't know. They went whitewater rafting, and their guide, his name was Lujan.
Oh, that's
right. And John Garrett said he was three sheets to the wind, he thinks. Mm-hmm, He said, "Hey, what's everybody's favorite breakfast food?"
Oh, boy.
And John Garrett, you know, everybody's throwing stuff out. And John Garrett went, "Cheetos." And he went, "Cheetos. Hey, that's not a breakfast food, but right on, man." You know, I mean, so
right on.
So wait, we talk about Lujan. Yeah, Lujan.
I blocked that out of my mind because I didn't want to. I didn't want to hear about their high.
I know
raft guide. So blocked it.
Anyway, but Caleb talked our waiter into FaceTiming John Garrett, and and he was like, "John," because everybody at camp calls him John or Bert, but he was like, "John. Man, I haven't seen you since Ridgecrest." And John Garrett is just looking at him dumbfounded. He was like, "Whatever." And he went, "What? You don't remember me?" Uh-oh. Hey, free Max, dude. I mean, we gave him all these terms. It was great.
Oh my gosh.
And John Garrett was just like, "I have no," and he said, "Tom, it's Tom, man." You know, and he said, "Hey, how's Hudson?" I mean, it was great.
Oh, yeah,
it was
snap. Great. I love it. Mm-hmm. And poor John G is like,
he was completely lost. Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so yeah, we did that for the birthday. And
that's awesome. That's fantastic. And then 2 days before that, Hudson had his big 21st birthday. So I don't remember. The whole week is a blur. So we spent the week near Blue Ridge, North Carolina, Georgia. Hello, Georgia. I'm so used to saying North Carolina. Anyway, lovely little town. I can't remember if I talked about it last week or not. I guess we'd been in town once, but we just had a great week. The cabin we stayed at, house, was beautiful and all that. I think I already talked about that. But anyway, so we left Thursday, and then we decided we could only make it as far as Chattanooga. So the 2 hour and 45 minute drive.
It's that hard.
Morning, Tim's like, "Let's stop. And I want to see Hud on his birthday," which of course was the next day Friday, which we didn't do anyway. But we went, so we stopped in chat, and we stayed at the Reed House. Tim got to stay at the Reed House.
Oh, did he love it?
He did. He was like, "Okay, you two." I'm like,
yep.
Whatever. Yeah. So it was just one night, but it was really nice and just a nice end of the trip. And we, Thatcher and Avery had driven back. So we all got back to chat, met up at the Reed House and had a little bevy in the bar downstairs. And then we went to dinner. Where did we go? We went to State of Confusion, and Hud met us there after work. So we got to see him again, just the day before, and chit chat. And it was just really nice and all that good stuff. But I have a story about the Reed House.
Oh, did you have an experience?
Yes.
Okay.
So we had finished having our little happy hour, and it was Thatch and Ava walked over from her place, and Tim and I, and we had a little bit of time to kill till our reservation at the restaurant. So we walked around a little bit, showed them the silver ballroom, and they were setting up for a big wedding or something in there. Anyway, and I was like, "I'll walk y'all up and show you room 311. That's the room, you know, where Annalise and, you know, Dad in the bathtub." And of course they all look at me. I don't know why my kids look at me like I'm crazy too. I'm like, it's like they don't believe what I'm saying. I'm like,
"Yes,
there was a murder in this bathtub. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not saying anything that's
not
like,
making it up. This is
not true. Like, this isn't," they just look at me like I'm making stuff up. So I was like, "Well, we can just go up there and I can just show you where it is. I mean, we got a few minutes." So we went up third floor, get up to the room, and you know, the door is different. The door is old fashioned,
right?
You know, like everything inside. So that's really all. I mean, we're just standing outside, and I'm like, they kept the door, you know, old and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, yeah, we're going to be there very long. But I said, you know, when they come for the tour, I said, the tour guides knock on the door before they go in. They don't just go in. Even I was like, you know, they're trying to be respectful.
Yeah, because she doesn't like it.
Right. They're trying to be respectful. And then, of course, Tim starts talking, you know, my husband, there's a little cleaning guy down at the next room doing a room. And my husband is like, do you ever clean this room? And the man doesn't speak any English. He didn't speak. He didn't know what he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tim's trying to talk to him. I'm just like, he doesn't know what you're asking. Do you need something? And all of a sudden the door, there's a knock on the door. And we heard it and we were like, did we hear what? Cause we were kind of, Tim was talking and we were like, did you hear that? And we were like, did you knock? And no. And Thatcher's over by the wall. I'm like, did you knock? And we're all like, no, I didn't knock. And Avery at this point takes off running. She goes, nope, nope. And she runs down the hall. She's gone. She's gone. Down the hall to the elevator, you know, right down there. She's hiding around the corner of the elevator. And we're just standing there like, did you do it? No, no. So then I'm like, Tim, knock on the door. So Tim knocks on the door. It knocks back.
Oh.
At this point, and nothing, no, oh, nothing happening, no noise inside, just the knock back. And then at this point, we're like, oh, no. And then we're like, feet don't fail me now. So we get down to the end and I'm like, no way. I'm like, what in the world? Mm-hmm. And then I said, I'm going back down there. So I go back down. They're all around the corner at the elevator. Mm-hmm. I go back down and I knock kind of softly, but I do a little like dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
You know? And it like two or three seconds later, dun, 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 right back at me. At this point, I turn around and I quickly walk to the elevator. I'm gone. I'm out. Because now it's doing this. And then as we're walking away, another couple is coming down the hall with their stuff to get on the elevator.
Yeah. Yeah.
With all their stuff. And as they're walking down and I'm walking down, a loud knock, like a banging on the door. It banged. And Tim's like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, did you guys hear that?
Y'all didn't tick her off.
I was like, we have made her mad. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So we get to the elevator and this young couple, and he's got all kinds of dresses he's trying to carry. I don't know. She didn't look amused with us. Tim, of course, immediately wants to chat with them.
Yeah, of course he does. Yes.
Have you been in the room? Did you know about the room? Did you know it's haunted? And blah, 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 blah. And they're like, yeah, you know, and she was not really, I think they might have been, anyway, I don't know. But he was like, yeah, he's like, there's someone staying in it. And I was like, I forgot
that they rented out in October.
Because it was a Thursday. It was a Thursday night. So I certainly didn't even think about it. Joni. Yeah.
They got
those fools inside. Those fools inside that room heard us
they
out
got
there.
You. Yep.
And knocked on that door and which of course made me even the happier.
Yes.
Because I'm like, yes. If you're going to be in that room, and Tim's like, you know, I'd be sitting there messing with everybody. Yes. He's like, they're not leaving that room. They are sitting mm-mm. there and there's no peephole. Cause I'm like, there's no peephole to look out. It's a really old fashioned door. And those idiots. And then we felt, cause we kind of felt bad. Then I was like, oh, you know, we're standing outside and talking all that, but they started it.
That's hilarious. They knocked first. That's hilarious.
And we just died.
I would be so all into that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It didn't even occur to me. Like, I kind of just assumed, I'm like, maybe there's a housekeeper, you know, someone's in there. But I mean, when it started to do it exactly like, and it was, I'm not gonna lie. I was like, what in the world?
Yeah.
And the guy,
but now I will say this, there was nobody in our room. When that radio
oh no, that was
started.
Real. That was that for real. Was, right. Yeah. This was Trixie. Then we get down the elevator. Of course, as soon as we get off, we run into our little tour guide, John, with his little hat.
Yeah.
And of course, Tim has to talk to him. I mean, uh-huh. Tim, and I'm like, honey. And he's like, is there someone staying up in that room? And he's like, well, I don't know. There might. He's like, yeah. And, you know, can't do a tour or something. You know, he kind of was talking with them. And Tim's like, well, because we heard a knock, you know. And he was that's like, oh, great. Well, you never know. I hope they make it through the night. And, you know, he's being all his own. Yeah. And I'm just like, so that was our story. It was great. The best part was when we all go, no, I didn't do it. And Avery just took off. She just hit her leggings on. And she was like, she was gone. And I'm like, well, that's nice to know.
Avery's like, I'm about to get married. I ain't getting killed.
Yeah.
Right now.
She's like, I'm out, you fools. So I felt real good about that.
That's hilarious. Like, things
like, so yeah. big kudos to whoever was in that room. Because again, yeah. You're like, if you're in there, right, like you got to be, I appreciate that they just took full advantage and freaking us out. And I'm sure we weren't the only people, you know. I mean, that's the fun of getting to stay there. So anyway, that was our haunted room
stuff. That's awesome. That is awesome.
It was pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. And then we drove home. No, I guess it was between Georgia and of course Chat. You know that part with the Lake Coe. You know how we had done that beautiful road.
Yes.
And when we drove out, we had been in the dark, so Tim didn't get to see, you know, anything. So as we were driving back to Chat, he got to see. And let me tell you what, in the fall, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just the trees turning and then the leaves were all blowing and swirling down like snow. I mean, and it was quiet, you know, there wasn't all the rafting.
Right.
None of that's there. Yeah. None of the buses are there. None of that's happening. Yeah. And it was just beautiful fall colors. And it was just.
I keep telling Caleb that's where he needs to go kayak. Is up there in the, I mean, even if he doesn't go down the.
Yeah, in the lake, I'm sure.
In the lake, right
there. Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hudson was like, hey, you know, he was trying to think about going back and camping or doing something at some point. So, but it was just really, really, really pretty. And then next day, as we're getting back, we kind of took the back way back home. Like we went through Nashville. And then once you get to Paducah, you can go kind of towards Illinois and take Route 3 and go up the river. And it's just a prettier, it adds maybe 20 minutes, 30 tops, but you're not on just the highway. And especially when it's the evening and you're going west, once you get on that highway in Illinois and you're just going straight into the sunset, it's like really blinding. So we'll go up and it's really scenic and it was really beautiful and all that too. But I'm telling you, we went through all the farm, saw, you know, beautiful, all most of the cotton had just been baled, but then there was one field that was full of just the puffiest white, you know, beautiful cotton, and then all the rest of it was baled. But we got to driving through one farm area and I was looking down at my phone or wasn't paying attention, and all of a sudden I hear this pitter 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 pat, and I'm thinking, oh, it's raining, we must be hitting a little cloud of rain. And I look up and I'm like, the bugs were hitting our windshield so badly that it sounded like big raindrops, like just splatter, splatter, splatter.
Yeah.
Our windshield was so disgusting. I was like, ugh. Anyway, it did it a couple times. It's like we get through this little, like a little swarm of them or something.
Get out and lick it?
No, I didn't. Why would I do
there's,
that?
Well, there's protein up in that.
I had a Kind bar. I don't need a bug splat. Thank you very much. What is wrong with you? We're not in survival times. Okay.
I might be after school today. I'm just trying to survive.
What? Oh no. Was it just a Monday?
It should have been just an easy cooking day. So the church is having their fall bazaar this Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so they ask if our class would fix cornbread for them.
Oh, nice.
Well, we're going on a field trip Friday, so we've been cooking cornbread and freezing it and hoping I may be making some emergency cornbread if it doesn't turn out. But and freezing it, we'll just see how it is. And I keep asking how much are we doing? How much are we,
Are you doing it to serve at the dinner?
Yeah, on Saturday.
And you're doing it for a dinner, not like to sell as whole cornbreads or anything.
Right, right. No, they're cutting it up. Anyway, they have like the men's group does a breakfast, and then the women's group does lunch with all the dressing and the, big Thanksgiving kind of food.
Oh, nice.
But this year they wanted to add in white beans and cornbread.
Oh, that's so
good. Nobody could tell me how much to make because they've never done it before.
Okay.
I'm like, well, how many people come through? Well, I don't, nobody give me a number. So we made like a ton of cornbread, and I had it on my plan, to make cornbread today. Well, Then yesterday, someone finally said, well, I don't know a number, but I can tell you that we're making a, you know, we'll have 3 crock pots of white beans. And I went, oh, that's about 20 servings at most, a crock pot. That's 60. I've got enough cornbread for 180 people right
now. Okay. Okay.
So. Okay.
But you know what you can use that cornbread for?
For dressing.
For your cornbread dressing at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I've already done that.
Oh, you've already done
that. I've already got that's taken care of. Yeah.
Well, excuse me.
So.
Okay. Cornbread salad.
So I just had them. I revamped everything this morning and sent kids to the, you know, a couple of kids to the grocery. And we made the biscuits because same thing for my dressing, and I make biscuits. And we're doing a Thanksgiving lab in our class. So, and then they can have Thanksgiving dinner and all that. So I had them, I said, go ahead. I've got the stuff to make this chocolate espresso cake. We'll go ahead and make that and freeze that. We'll make the biscuits and we'll make anything. And then I started, you know, thinking about y'all coming. So I went ahead and had him do like a big, huge pan of lasagna for, you know,
whenever
that weekend.
Exactly. And yeah, that'll be amazing.
We froze, you know, cakes for their labs, and I may had him do sausage balls for breakfasts and, you know, just different things, just catching up so that we had them some things ready.
Wow.
Well, listen, I mean, all day long, this was not a very difficult lab. You know, I mean, it was just not. And so I was trying to catch up on, I thought I could catch up on some book work. I mean, all day long, Ms. Shank. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to die.
What were they? They just needed lots of extra help.
Listen, the biscuits were, they cut them too thin. I was like, no, they can't. They need to be about an inch thick. You can't do them that thin. And you're like, before you bake them? Yeah. I said, like, look. Whatever. So instead of redoing it, they just stacked them on top of each other.
Come on, guys. Well, I guess that's the point of learning, right? Now they know.
Now
they know we can't do that. You can't just stack your biscuits.
So, yeah. And one of the biggest problems, and everybody cooking does this when they're starting out, is they look at the ingredients and they just throw them in the bowl. They don't read.
I have never heard of that.
Oh yeah. They don't read the directions. They just look and
they just get the stuff and they think just throw it in the bowl.
2 cups of flour, 2 eggs, buttermilk, you know, they just start putting it in the bowl and mixing it up. They don't look at mixed dry ingredients separate. Do this,
cream,
you know,
the thing. And yeah.
So, and
I've never, I guess I learned to cook pretty young. So
yeah. So it one of this, they were like one recipe, they were making a frosting and they were like, hey, this says to add cream, but it doesn't tell us how much. I was like, what? And I'm thinking, I'm going through that recipe. I thought, I said, are you talking about milk? Or they were like, no, it just doesn't say, look,
it says cream.
It says add butter and cream.
Add butter and cream being a verb.
Cream meaning, cream. I said, okay. So I had to go over and I'm looking.
They're that like, is we confusing. Don't have that is confusing.
Yes. So when I said, say, okay.
Yeah.
Add butter and cream until blended. I said,
right. You got to put a little more to it sometimes.
Term.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was, but I mean, it just was all day long of just.
You were teaching it today.
You
I'm earned your out. Paycheck.
I did earn my paycheck. I am worn out.
Where's your field trip? Is that coming up this Friday or is that
Yes. So we are going to the Ashes Farms. So we do. So Robin is one of their sons and he has a big poultry farm in Selmer. So we're driving over to the poultry farm and then we're turning back and coming back to Burnt Church to the cattle farm.
Oh, that is awesome.
So because they have a big poultry and beef unit in their, you know, in their culinary book. And so we're going from, you know, the ground up.
May mess some kids up.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to slaughter them.
Just seeing it. I think some of them don't. Yeah. Although, yeah, you know, your kids live in the country. I mean, they know.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But still.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but did you know, I mean, there's lots of things and I thought, man, I didn't know this existed. And there's a video, if anybody wants to go watch, it's called More to the Moo. And it's from the Dairy Alliance, actually, that does. Okay. And it's a little farm in Sweetwater, Tennessee. And not a little farm, it's a big farm. He's taken his dad's little farm and turned it into a huge thing. And, but they have food scientists for cows. And this place, I mean, they have a food scientist and you feed them this when they're young, when they're babies, and another thing when they're young, and another thing when they are pregnant, and another thing when they are, you know, postpartum. And
well, that makes sense. That makes sense, right?
Yeah. You're just not slopping some corn out there. No, I mean, it is a whole food science thing. But
I
anyway,
need a food science person. I need a food science person to tell me.
So I thought, dude, I could have done that. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
I could have gone and mixed up food for cows.
You can do that for the mammoth on the Vonder on John's farm.
Yes.
For the mini woolly mammoths when those come. You can be the food scientist for those.
Good. I would like that.
I know you would. You'd be really good at it.
So.
And I will weave, do woolly mammoth wool crafts.
You could put beads in their hair and little sparkly
things. Then also, like, I got to shave and get their little wool, and then I'll spin it into woolly mammoth yarn.
Okay.
And make you a woolly mammoth blanket.
A poncho.
Woolly mammoth poncho. It's happening.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was in an episode last week where we discussed the comeback of the woolly mammoth.
Yep. If you missed it,
I have a little update for you. So on your top three last week, you spoke, or maybe it wasn't. Yeah, I think it was your top three. You spoke of blurry creatures.
Yes.
So I want you to know that I listened to the Blurry Creature podcast all the way home from Chattanooga in the dark.
Oh, good.
Drive with the misty, foggy. Yeah, it was. Yes.
Pretty good, huh?
So it was, it's pretty good.
It's interesting. Like, and I, so, again, I start, did you start at the very beginning? Like,
I did.
Okay. Same here. So and I'm enjoying it, but I'm thinking, you know, as it goes, it's, you know, it's going to get even better. Just like us. We're so much better now.
But here's what I didn't know that I learned listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that Lewis and Clark had documented some of this in their exploration.
That.
Yes.
What episode they said, in?
Well, it's 1 through 4 somewhere.
Okay. Maybe I missed it. Maybe
but
I was
Lewis
doing
and Clark, as they journeyed through, they spoke of the hairy giants living in caves.
Oh no, I did. I remember that part. Yeah. They called them giants.
Yes.
Yep. And which they talked about the difference between some giant. There's some, did you hear that? They talked about how there was giants, and that's different than the Sasquatch and the.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, we're talking about Sasquatch here because
Yes.
And otherwise known as Bigfoot.
Bigfoot, which they were saying in one of the episodes that I just listened to, which was probably 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And they were talking to a guy who knew all kind, who had all kinds of encounters. The guy who used to live out in the backwood. Did you hear that one?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so he was telling all, and it's so funny because like, he's very matter of fact, like you, it's like, yeah, here's the, he's Native American. He's some tribe, Canadian. He might be Canadian.
It was a Canadian. Yeah.
Yeah. But so he had had all kinds of several encounters, but just like knew all about them and what they're like. And you're just like, well, and then they talked about the different kinds of Sasquatch, the different like clans or breeds. I don't, you know what's the appropriate.
They had a couple of, I mean, just in those episodes, different people talking about the different breeds or the different things. And they contributed to, they said, just like we've got a white-tailed deer.
Yeah.
But there are several kinds of white-tailed deer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know.
I know it's so interesting, but one of the things he said, and he was talking about the different kind of, I don't know, like temperaments or violent encounters. And he was talking about how there's a group of rogue males, because the males, if they go rogue, that there's been lots of reports of the rogue males in the land between the lakes and all that in Kentucky. Yes,
in Kentucky and Tennessee.
And we drive through that all the time, all Joni. The time. Mm-hmm. And there's some violent rogue male Sasquatches up
there.
Can
I tell you something? You know who has a cabinet lamp between the legs?
Oh my gosh, who?
Monty. We need to go stay.
Joni, that needs to happen immediately. We need to have research and we need to go stay. Yeah. But what if the scary, violent male rogue Sasquatches try to run away with us?
Well, I'm throwing you out there first.
You always do. Dadgummit. This is literally Joni's like, take her.
When take her. I offed you often.
It's the worst. Whatever.
So, yeah, but here's the thing. And, you know, and Ron is so much more of a skeptic. I'm like, you know, I'm the first one. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 You know, I'm ready to jump in there and do whatever just because it's fun.
You don't know. Really, he doesn't know.
Here, I will tell you, I don't know right now. I'm hesitant to say that Sasquatch exists now, but I will say what sells me on that at some point they were here, whether they're still here, I don't know, but are the Indians or the Native Americans, whatever.
That's exactly what those guys were saying. Like, this stuff goes back. They've talked about them for a long time and they still do.
Yes. Right. Because they have nothing to gain. You know, no. I mean, there was no, they were talking about this long before there was any media fame to be had. There was any whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when they talk about the, and I had heard this before there's this podcast, who were the two men, you know, they captured the video of the Bigfoot out
the fake
somewhere.
Video, the fake one, or the,
well, they
the
say
female one, the one that was the female one,
mm-hmm, yeah,
who turns and looks,
and yes, mm-hmm, yeah, and they, you know, and forever everybody's like, oh, it's a costume mm-hmm, mm-hmm, until somebody came out and said they didn't have costumes like that back in 1963. Mm-hmm. And then I went, oh yeah, you know what, you're right. I mean, now, well, oh, 100%.
But someone could.
I don't. That's pretty advanced. I mean, go back to the horror movies that you saw from the 60s.
Yeah,
you know,
the Planet of the Apes. Man, it was not good.
I mean, there was.
But they would be scary if you put on a Planet of the Apes thing and went running around out there. That'd be terrifying.
Right. Yeah, but that's not what it looked like.
No, you're right.
You know,
you're right.
I mean, you look at like the Fog or the, you know, Frogman or, you know. Those were like garbage bags.
The creature from the Black Lagoon.
The creature,
He's my favorite.
You know, I mean, they're right. They are right in saying that the costumes were not that advanced. The facial features, the things. And but really the Indians are what sell me on the existence. Whether they're still out there or not, I don't know. But
I think here's the thing, and especially even after listening to the few of those podcasts, you know, because they were talking specifically in one of them about how, you know, because everyone's always like, well, how come more people don't see them? And they're like, first of all, the way this person described what they're like, how they look, and then the habitats where they hang out, you know, heavily forested, you know, trees, trunks. And he's like, if they stand still, they blend right
it looks
in.
Like a tree. Yeah,
it looks like a tree stump, like their legs and all that. They're very solitary. And here's the thing too, which of course that makes total sense, but also I'm like, let me tell you what, I have been to a lot of places in our country that warn about bears. Okay, the cabin we were just at, you know, of course, it's all up in the mountain. It was a Pisgah mountain, which was interesting. Had pictures of bear trash cans, bear, you know, all the whole things. You know, didn't see a bear.
Yeah.
Okay. Rocky Mountains. We went on a big trip through Rocky Mountains, Yellowstone, Tetons, saw, you know, moose, saw all kinds of stuff, never saw a bear.
And now, I tried to see a bear.
We try. Now, of course, in Smoky Mountain, we did see those black bears on the trail that tried to kill me. And then, and the boys have had them at camp. You know, I mean, I've seen, in fact, one was on, you know, walking right through Kirkwood, Missouri, you know, a few months back. So Lord have mercy. My point is, you can be in an area that's like supposed to be full of bears
and
looking for
one.
A bear and never see a bear. And I would guarantee there are far, far, far fewer, if they are real, Sasquatch than there are black and grizzly bears. Yeah. So like, to me, I'm kind of going, I mean, If you're not deep in the backcountry and deep in the right place and they're not moving and they're holding, I mean, like, yeah, you would.
Well, and you know, and people argue, well, we haven't found any bones. We haven't found this and that. Well, here's the, we don't know what they do with their dead either.
Oh, they might bury them and have funerals.
You know, I mean, they could bury them, or they could, you know, sink them down, and who knows? I don't know. Or grind up, you know, who knows?
I don't know.
But
I'm like, I just don't think there's very many.
I just think there's probably not very many. Yeah. I just think there's so many stories from people who, again, have nothing to, they've got nothing to gain. You know, there's no fame, there's no fortune, there's no, these stories existed long before, you know, anybody was going to get famous off of it. Yeah. And they're matter of fact. It's not like,
here's what happened.
Kind of,
Yeah. And the mannerisms that they talk about with all the stuff, I was just like, wow, it's very cool. Well, I'm glad you're in.
I will say there was one, there was one man that I was like, yeah, I'm not buying this, because he was like, yeah, he was sitting and he was the one talking about how they blend in with the trees. And he said, I thought it was a stump. Mm-hmm. And then he said, I realized it wasn't a stump. I was probably, you know, 60 feet away from him. Mm-hmm. And I realized, oh, he's sitting right there. He just is sitting there, and he's probably not very happy that I'm here. He said, so I didn't take it. I just left. I didn't get a picture. I didn't get, I went, hold on. You're a researcher. You're into all this. True. And you have the opportunity to get a picture, the first ever capture, you know, and
that's a good point.
You didn't do it. I don't know. I don't know that I'm buying that.
That's true. And the other thing they do talk about, you know, a lot of times is the smell.
Yes.
They're like, you'll smell them before you, they apparently don't smell very good.
They smell
very gross.
And
so anyway, I don't know. Listen, Monty, the cat, I'm telling you, we got to go up there. I drive through that all the time. I mean, again, I'm not there at night. I've stayed a little bit at in the Land Between the Lakes, but apparently, I don't want to be violently. I now I don't know though. I want to go a place where they're just the nice shy ones. I don't want the violent rogue males. I'm not into that. I don't know about that.
So. Hey Sasquatch, we want to see you unless you're a rogue one.
Unless you're violent.
Only want the nice cuddly ones.
I want the nice lady ones. Anyway.
I'm done.
Well, good. Well, I'm going to keep listening, and I'm sure you will. And I know they're going to talk about other stuff. The whole thing isn't you know, they started off with the big, you know, of course you're going to start with Bigfoot.
Yeah.
But they get into the Nephilim, and they get into, I don't know, what other kind of creatures, maybe Missouri, the big Missouri monster, Momo, the Missouri. That was,
I haven't heard Momo.
The legend of Momo, the monster. Black Shuck. They better have some Black Shuck up in there.
Some Black Shuck in there. Maybe I should call them and say, I have a story for you.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Anyway, well, that's awesome. Oh my gosh.
What?
She has beaten the crap out of her husband.
You're going to pick up every bit of that. That's my recipe.
Y'all, listen, this little corner of her screen, this little eyeball came poking up, and it was Ron, and she didn't see him, and she turned around and just smacked the living tar out of him. I thought you were going to kill him.
I punched you in the face.
Did you TT?
No, I didn't TT.
Okay, he deserved to be punched in the face. Don't sneak up on us.
You're not even supposed to be home. Why are you home? Get out of my podcast.
And we're talking about violent rogue males.
Blurry creatures.
We were ready. Maybe we'll be okay. You took him out. Okay.
I think we're that. Okay. I just tore my entire.
What'd you tear up? Your notebook?
My cookbook.
Well, you had to defend yourself.
I don't know what I'm giving you now for a recipe.
Okay, good Lord. Well, you've got time. You've got a little bit of time.
I hurt my thumb.
Oh my gosh, you guys, she's injured. Football, is there anything that you want to, report anything on football? I had it on, but I was cleaning but I definitely had it on.
I'm not as impressed with Mississippi State this week.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just say that and leave it at that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It was but it was another great week of games though. I gotta say, like just the matchups, like all of them, I was like, oh, that'll be good. And ooh, that'll be good. I didn't write anything down, you guys. I do have a spicy uniform. I do, because I happened to be, of course, watching the big game was LSU and A&M that night. Yeah. It was like a big kind of one of the big games. So I did watch that up until about the half. I missed the ending, but which is good. Aggies won, and it was down in Kyle Field and all that. But the Aggies get the Spicy Uniform Award because, and again, I'm biased. I must be. If you want to win the Spicy Uniform Award, one way to really up your chances is to wear all black. Okay. You're elevated to another level, or all one color. I like
Holly actually really likes it when you wear chartreuse.
If you want to wear all chartreuse, then you may do so. But they had the blackout. So all the fans and a lot of people were wearing black, and then they wore all blacks, which was the first time the announcers were saying that's the first time they had done that in their home stadium, which was very cool. And then their helmets had the script Aggies in script on it. It was very cool. I love it. Let's just say that. And then a runner up would just be the, it's not really a whole uniform, but didn't Mississippi State Bulldogs wear the swing your sword, the pirate flag? I think they had the Pirate Mike Leach helmet this week. I'm pretty sure it's on like one side.
I shamedly didn't notice that.
I heard someone talk about it, and then I did peek in. So they had the in memory of Mike Leach, the pirate. They had the flag, pirate flag, on the side of their helmet. So I love that. I love stuff that has meaning or like a tradition,
right? Yes,
or that's just really like cool and coordinates with the fans, like the all black, and then it was their blackout. Like, I'm all about that. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Aggies, and congratulations on your win over LSU. I think they're number one now in the conference.
Are they?
I believe so. I think they're the only undefeated in conference. Okay. So look at them go. Okay. I did think the other day, so this is a delusional mom, for all you moms out there we all can just be, are you all as delusional as I am about, I'll be watching Instagram, scrolling through, watching videos, and there's several people that I follow that are New York accounts. Like one guy does tours of beautiful apartments, and one girl, I don't know what she does, but she has a beautiful cozy, but anyway, so I follow several. And then of course you get fed, all kinds of stuff then. So am I the only mom that will watch those and legitimately look real hard, like I'm going to see my child who lives there in Brooklyn, like I'm going to see him. Like there's an actual chance that he might be in that video.
Well, but so if I'm you look. Didn't look, he could be there. And
I feel like there's every possibility he's going to be in that video. So I look and I'm just sort of like, oh, maybe he's walking down the street. Maybe he's at that coffee shop. It's Manhattan. It's New York. It's Brooklyn. And I, for some reason, have every expectation that there's a possibility I'm going to see my son. So welcome to.
You probably are.
Welcome to delusional mothering 2.0.
So funny. Oh, my goodness. Well.
What else you got? Did you want to talk Thanksgiving? Or I ask you this every week and you keep saying no.
I know. Well, now I'm thinking it's 4:15. I don't know what time we started.
We have until about 35. We're good. We're good on time. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So Thanksgiving is coming up. And by the time this episode drops, it will drop on Halloween night, mm-hmm. Or Halloween morning. And then the next day we start All Saints Day in November 1st. And we have talked about this before, but in case you're just, tuning in here, one of the traditions that my family has loved, we start at the very beginning of November, on November 1st. And I went and got a maple leaf out of one of my grandmother's maple tree. And I traced around it onto, just fall colored cardstock and cut a bunch out. And every night in November, my family would each of us, not just one, a leaf, right? We would take a leaf and we would write one thing that we are thankful for down. And I had no rules against, You can write down whatever
you want.
They've been, you know, they were boys, so they were thankful for snot and all kinds of, you know, stuff That's like fine. That.
That's great.
And then I've taken those. The only rule that I had was on All Saints Day that we write down someone alive or dead, because at that point they didn't know many people, you know, who were dead, who has made a difference in our life for the Lord. And so that's the one rule that I have is on November 1st. And I've kept all those and put them in albums over the years. So and cool. That we do that from November 1st all the way till Thanksgiving. And if guests come in our house, they take a leaf and they write down one thing.
Yes, I've done leaves.
You have done leaves. Listen, that is now my one thing. Like if my house were to burn down, you know, they always ask that question. What's one thing you would grab?
Yeah.
And it's that, because you start to see their hearts, really, you know, from, and it gets you past. I mean, it's one thing on Thanksgiving Day. Okay. What's everybody thankful for? And you have a lot of, you know, God, Jesus, family.
Right. Food, the big 10 or whatever. Yeah.
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 But by the time you get to Thanksgiving, I mean, you're really going, you know, I'm thankful I've got a blanket. We'll come in from a, you know, really ice cold football game and you're thankful for heat.
Yeah.
Or you're thankful for, you know, whatever medicine. We've been sick and I've been really thankful for doctors and medicine and, you know, things like that. So it gets you past a lot of the beginning things to where you really start to see the blessings that are in your life.
The simplest small things, like you just said, like a blanket, or, you know, it's not all that everything is real big or profound, but it's like the more you think about it, the more your eyes are open, the more you're looking for and you see the little things.
Yeah.
I feel like that, you know, the little things come into focus more than the big things.
Right.
I don't know. That's very cool. Yeah.
And then we also have I did it as a devotion, but it's just a book by Barbara Rainey.
Love it.
And I forgot, what's the name of Thanksgiving? A Time to Remember.
Thanksgiving to Remember. Time to Remember. I have it out somewhere. I found it.
I've got it in here somewhere too. And we would read just an excerpt out of that every night in November. And y'all, it's the Thanksgiving story.
It's the story of the first Thanksgiving. And it's very faith.
Very faith-based.
It focuses on the faith, because that was a big part of, you know, of their journey.
And I will tell you, if your kids are in public school, y'all, they're not hearing that.
Right.
They're not hearing any of that.
Right.
And now they're changing history so much to so many, you don't know what they're getting. So I just highly encourage you to go back and read those things of the faith of these pilgrims. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I mean, if that's not your, you know, if faith is not in your life, then you got your own version, you know, but this is the pilgrims who came over for, you know, for religious freedom, for that, so that they could worship the Lord
as they wanted to.
And so it's just a beautiful story. And
it's a beautiful story in terms of the relationship they have with the Native Americans. I mean, I know, listen, we have a lot. There's a lot that was done wrong. There's a lot that we can be in our, you know, history of our country and the first Europeans that came over and all that. But there's also a lot of, there's some beautiful stories. There was some mutual respect. There was mutual cooperation. There was help given. As you know, if you know the story, you know, the Native Americans, if it wasn't for them, the settlers would not have lived through that winter. It was, you know, very terrible. So,
I will tell you what I did. My mother was furious at me. There is a point in there where they had to ration their food so much down to they would have 5 kernels of corn a day.
Geez.
And when we got to that part of the story, that's what we would have for supper. 5 kernels of corn.
Corn?
Of corn.
That was not
And, you know, it's like, You know, you let your kids go to bed hungry. I did. Yeah. Because guess what? When they were waking up in the morning, they were going to have a big old hearty breakfast.
Right. And you were going to serve it up the next morning.
But it's good for them to see the strip, because that's
just in a small way.
Yes.
In the smallest way. Yes. I mean, they ate all day.
Right.
But still, even in that small way, that was such a good way to imprint that story on their hearts and minds. So,
you know, because, and you know, look, this world is so crazy. There may come a day in their life when they're going to have 5 kernels of corn. That may be all that they, I mean, that's a reality. This is not a story.
No, that's true for a lot of people.
Right. Well, and I mean, even now, I mean, if we were to go through some, I mean, look at those poor people in North Carolina right now. We don't know what they're having to ration right now just to survive. Mm-hmm. And and I just think it was good for them to see and to really, really take that in of, you know, what these people went through.
Yeah.
For their faith. This was their faith.
It was not a happy pleasure cruise of a trip.
No.
Or settling in that first year was incredibly, you know, they called it the winter of I can't remember, like half the people or 2/3. It was, of course, and they weren't really prepared. And these people weren't even all farmer. You know, they're in a new place. They picked this rugged, you know, Atlantic coast, which probably wasn't the best idea.
That's where the ship came. Yeah. You know, that's where the ship sailed in.
But just the whole story of that is really a miracle. It's a remarkable.
But they knew that it wasn't going to be easy. And they knew, and some of them left their children behind, and they were going to come back and get them if it worked out. But they knew can you imagine leaving your 5-year-old son and thinking,
I would rather be there with them and just suffer with whatever wherever we were. Yeah.
You know, but their faith was so important to them that they said, we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they were willing. They were willing to go through. And so it's a remarkable picture. And, you know, now we don't have any, we just sit down and feast really big and we don't think about what people actually went through or why we're even celebrating this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I would, and especially now these days, Thanksgiving just gets skipped over. You know, it's Black Friday and it's Christmas and it's, I do too.
I love Thanksgiving.
I do too.
So. I love it. So it's such all these 3 holidays right in it's a lot because it's like, especially when you've got littler ones who are doing more of the fun activities and who you're wanting to make it special for. So like we've been there, and it's like Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, you're just my gosh, but to take that time to do those things when your kids are younger, but then also you can just really, as you get older and as they get older and all that, you really can kind of, tap into that more peaceful, chill, you know, you can have more time to just kind of be contemplative yourself, on the holidays and all that. So it's very cool. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Anyway, we'll talk more about it as Thanksgiving approaches and just different. I would like us to talk about just kind of a plan, a time frame of when we need to start doing things, when we need to start just things that we can do so that it's not so overwhelming.
Good idea.
And so.
Yep. Well, I could give my little tiny, I wasn't planning on it, but I'll start off in that vein just real quickly.
Okay.
And do my little tip of which I may not do this year because this year is different. We got weddings, we got grandparents moving, we got a whole bunch of situations. So I am catering a lot of stuff. But anyway, aside from that, now is the time of year to start getting your baking stuff together. Just if you nothing else, just start getting your baking ingredients, you know, your chocolate pieces and your chocolate chips and your nut, because those things, as we know, they're not cheap. They add up.
Yep.
You know, maybe you kind of have some, maybe that's the fun thing to kind of look through recipes, you know, the things you always make or whatever, and just kind of start getting your baking, your pantry stocked with that stuff when you're not quite in the thick of it yet. Like I'm fixing about to make some pumpkin breads up in here and freeze a bunch of stuff. But yeah, start doing that. Start getting your little baking pantry and ingredients kind of going and collected, and then you'll be all set to go and have the fun of doing that.
And I will add this in with that. Look, don't be afraid to buy stuff.
Nope.
I mean, if there is no shame, y'all, I teach culinary. Mm-hmm. I cook all the time. And I promise you, I am looking through some of these websites of places that I mm-hmm. like to get, because I'm like, okay, what can I take off my plate? Mm-hmm. Because I would rather spend time with people than I would stuck in the kitchen.
Yep. Absolutely. So, absolutely. So, good advice. Do the things, do the dishes you want to do, you know, but also give yourself grace. So, and just so you can have a little bit of enjoyment. Right. So,
and freeze what you can freeze ahead of time.
Yes.
Freezing it may is not your be. Friend. It is. It is.
And the crock pot is your friend for the meals, the rest of the meals. I think I posted a meme. I can't remember. I think I did on my Instagram. Maybe if I think about it, I'll try to repost it. But this is a hilarious lady. She does a bunch of different things. Anyway, I don't know her name, but, and she was like, guess what time of year it is? She's like, it's pot season. And she's like, not the kind of pot you're thinking of, but it's going to be in a pot.
Crock pot. Yeah. The so you posted that. Yeah.
It could be a crock pot. It could be a roast pot. It could be a, she's like, but if it don't go in a pot, I ain't cooking it for dinner.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't ask for chicken and this and that. Cause if it don't cook in one pot, we ain't doing it. And I'm like, that's exactly, you know, give yourself grace on the other things too. That's like, that's what I would say. Yeah. Like get the easy on the other stuff. And then maybe that kind of gives you a little more margin to do the things that you want to do for the special events. So,
Right.
That's a good tip, Joni.
But it is. I mean, and now's the time. Start looking, you know, through all that, get things that'll go in your freezer and get them in the freezer. And then you're not having to have such a chunk of
all your breads, all like your pumpkin breads, zucchini, all that kind of stuff freeze just fine.
Yeah, that's right.
So you could take a Saturday. That's what I'm planning on. I don't know if I'll be able to do it this, because Avery and Joey are coming in town this weekend. So we've got some wedding stuff to do and whatnot. But I'm like, one of these days, I've got to get back on my feet this week. It's been a little nuts.
Yeah.
But, and that's what I just want to take a day and just bake, and then freeze.
All right.
Are you recovered enough to do your recipe? Or
my hand hurts. And no, listen, so here's what I was going to do, and I'll try to find that later. I was going to do my apple cake with caramel frosting or caramel icing.
Ooh.
We actually made that at school today, but that's what they put in the whole, everything just went in the one bowl.
Oh, and they just threw all the stuff. So, okay.
Anyway, but now that I've tossed everything all over the room, hitting my husband, I did actually, though, I have this recipe that I've actually been looking for. So I'm going to do that. It is, I have given a recipe from Miss Jane Lay before.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous cook, famous cook. But she has a Swiss chocolate cake that is so easy, but it's so good. And so here's what it is. It's a box of Swiss chocolate cake mix.
Chocolate cake? Where do you get Swiss chocolate cake mix?
They make a Swiss chocolate cake mix.
Swiss chocolate cake
mix. If you can't find a Swiss chocolate one, just get a regular chocolate cake mix. It'll be all right.
Okay, that's disturbing.
Swiss chocolate cake mix.
Okay.
And a small box of the vanilla instant pudding, 3 eggs, a cup of oil, and 1.5 cups of buttermilk. You are going to combine all of that stuff together. Don't follow the recipe on your cake box. Follow that.
Okay.
Pour that into 3 9-inch round cake pans. You're going to bake that at 350 for 25 to 30 minutes.
I love a round cake. I love a little round layer cake.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so then that's going to, you know, take them out, let them obviously cool down. And then for your frosting, you need a 8-ounce cream cheese, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1 cup of powdered sugar, 1 16-ounce Cool Whip, and 4 chocolate candy bars, like Hershey bars, grated.
This is going to be really good. It's going to be fluffy.
I'm telling you, it is delicious.
Mm.
So you combine all of those ingredients together, except for your grated chocolate bars.
Mm-hmm.
Mix those well. Spread. I'm sorry. You do go in and you add some of your candy bar. Now I would hold some out so you can top it.
To sprinkle.
I think. Mm-hmm. Yep. So all that gets mixed and you are going to spread generous amounts.
Mm-hmm.
She has generous.
A lot.
Between cooled cake layers.
Yes.
And then finish frosting your sides and top of the cake. Mm-hmm. Store it in the refrigerator. And if you prefer, oh, good. She's got this. If you prefer, the grated chocolate candy can just be added to the top of the cake. Okay.
So either way. Mm-hmm. Either way.
Yep.
Okay. That, mm-hmm. That sounds so good.
Yeah.
And for people that don't know, just a little tip too, like when you're frosting cakes, like round and you're doing the sides of cakes, if you have time, you want to do a crumb layer. Yes. If you have time, it just makes your life so much easier. So you do kind of a thin layer all around the sides because the crumbs get picked up and it, right. You know what I mean? You can't make it pretty.
Yes.
But you stick that then in the fridge or whatever and let that set. And then you can come out and do a layer on top of that of your frosting and it might help it not get all those crumbs in there. So there you go.
And so what y'all did not see here, this is an old cookbook. It's very fragile. And
is that the one you busted up?
Yeah, that's what I mean, papers went flying all over. Yeah. I broke.
That is an old cookbook. I've seen that cookbook.
No, yeah.
Oh my gosh, Ronald. You destroyed your cookbook.
Y'all have no idea what I go through at this
house. No more food for him.
I'm just going to tell you. No more food.
No more soup for you. Okay, it's also time for your top three.
I know. Now it's this week. I tried to take it last week.
I know.
Top three.
Okay, let me pull this up here. Okay.
All right. I'll sing a song while you do that if you need me to.
Sing a song, yes.
I don't know what song to sing. I don't know. I got nothing. Usually I have something, but Oklahoma, where the wind goes sweeping down the plains. Okay.
So I bought, if you've been listening to us, we have redecorated Caleb's room. And I just bought a lamp from Amazon.
Ooh.
And it is dimmable. It has a remote control.
Mm-hmm.
It goes from all kinds of dimness. I mean, you've
got a
blue tinted and a yellow. I mean,
natural light, bright light.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and it's all done with remote control. You can turn it up, turn it. I mean, it is fantastic.
That's fancy.
Yep. It was so easy to put together. It's great. It's called a Sunmori dimmable floor lamp with remote.
Is it in the corner by those chairs? Did you put it over by the chairs? Yes. Oh, nice. That's great.
I did. Then I also got a Victrola Nostalgic 6-in-1 Bluetooth turntable.
Oh.
Listen, it awesome.
I'm so excited.
A CD player, a cassette player, FM radio, wireless music streaming, and the turntable.
I may have to get that.
It is
because
fantastic.
I don't know that I need the record player. We have two record players, so I probably don't because Hudson has one upstairs and we have one. But the CD player and the tape, like having it all in one.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And
it Bluetooths, right?
And it Bluetooths. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so you got all that.
That's everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, and now here's you a piece for Thanksgiving. You ready? Okay. Mm-hmm. This is a warming mat.
I saw that on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
I got it. That one is really expensive. This one.
Okay. You went to Amazon and got it.
This one that I got, and it had good ratings. It is let me see how much that was. This one's $58.99.
I saw it, and I thought of you. I was like, ooh.
And it has a coupon you can apply.
Okay.
But it rolls up. So, I mean, I've got a big warming board.
But that's heavy.
It's heavy. It takes up so much space. Mm-hmm. It just rolls right up.
You can keep, you can still use your big warming thing, at home and never have to. But now, even if you do
tailgate press box. Yeah.
You can just take that rolly one.
Yep. That's right.
Okay.
And you set it for whatever temperature that you want. Mm-hmm. Now, I got it out. Make sure that it worked and it mm-hmm. heated up fine. It did. Has the temperature. You can set it from whatever, temperature, I think up to 250.
Now, is it warm on the bottom? That's what I
know.
How is it not warm on
the
other
side? It's got a thermal
layer
there.
Is it pretty thick?
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, they looked really thin and I couldn't figure out how it doesn't. So the bottom, it does not
get hot.
It's
got like a rubber. I don't know how to explain it.
Okay. It's a mat. It rolls up like a mat.
It is, but it's got like a raised, it's just tiny. It's
Oh, okay.
Tiny raised up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Okay. Oh, I saw that and I was like, do I need that?
I did.
I don't know if I do. I might.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have this one is there's a cream white and a dark blue and an orange one.
Orange?
The orange one is $159.
Who's getting an orange warming
mat? I don't know, but I'm seeing a lot of orange like furniture and I'm like, who's buying that? But
like,
I don't know.
If I can see if you're like a Tennessee volunteer and you want a tailgate, but even then, like who is using an orange? What piece of furniture are you wanting to put that orange? They don't have like a dark brown?
Nope.
Or black? It's cream, blue, orange, blue or white. Orange.
Yep.
No, I disapprove of those colors. I disapprove.
Well, I got the blue one because my kitchen is blue. So
yeah, that's the best one out of
the bunch.
It's
a dark blue.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah. And you may can find, they may have some more that come out later. There may be a different brand.
But. Right. Well, that's cool. That does look really cool. Cause then you just set your stuff on it. Yeah. And you're not, you know, you just put all your dishes on there that need to stay hot and no one will die of bacteria, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
That's
excellent.
Right.
Excellent. Well, those are very good top three.
Thanks.
Very exciting. I'm feeling all in the festive season with a turntable and
I will too. And I'll tell you because I'm getting ready. Y'all have heard me say I don't like to do I don't like to do Christmas before Thanksgiving, but everybody is descending on my house for Thanksgiving and the weekend after Thanksgiving. And I want it to be a very homey, Christmassy Thanksgiving, the transition, you know, so I want to have it done.
Well, you have to. And you're mostly doing the upstairs where you're not.
I'm doing the upstairs right now.
That much anyway, so.
I'm telling you, doing that has put me like in the mood.
I know, in the mood for, I'm in the mood for love.
Well, maybe for like, for Thanksgiving, for Christmas.
That'll do it. Yeah. That'll do it. That's awesome. And why not?
Right.
Why not feel great about it?
Yeah.
Even earlier, you know, I think I'm going to get in there and watch. It might be You Got Mail night tonight for me. I need to just.
Oh, that's such a good fall one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I watched Practical Magic. Got that done the other night. And it might be a You Got Mail kind of situation. So it is going to be 85 here tomorrow. It was 80 here today.
I know it's driving me crazy. I know. And I have soup to put out for supper tonight.
It's great. Yeah. So, okay. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Thanks for taking a little bit of time to hang out with us. We hope you have a great week as always. Hope that you're getting to do some of the things that you want to do and the things you need to do. And until next time, we will talk to you soon. Goodbye, cornbread.
See, corn dip.
Did you get your haircut?
No.
Oh. Oh, okay. It just looks shorter and like more curly.
It's just, it is curlier. I don't know why. Okay. But it's curlier.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't know.
You're getting pretty gray there, girl.
Silver. I'm a silver fox.
You are a silver fox. You and Coach Carpenter.
I need to get it toned because it comes it starts to turn real blonde if they don't tone it with a nice cool. Anyway, enough about my hair. Nobody cares about that.